Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and it's wonderful to have you with us here on this Friday. We are wrapping up 2 full weeks of marvelous teaching on restoration by Derek Prince. What a journey it has been. The restoration of the church, the restoration of Israel, the restoration of the individual. All of these have been our themes, and it has been a marvelous time. Today, Derek's going to get very practical about this whole issue of the restoration of Israel and talk to us about what it means to us, what our response should be, and the role that we can play as end-time prophecy unfolds. A very, very important teaching. Now listen, if you've missed any of this, log on to the website at derekprince.org. You'll find all kinds of great stuff, and specifically, you'll find all of these teachings, and you need to get them. Remember what I'm always saying. Psychologists tell us you have to listen to a one-hour teaching 7 times before you actually even hear all the words, much less get it deposited into your heart. Coming up at the back part of our show today, we're going to have the second part of our interview with David Doland, who is a journalist in Jerusalem. We met with him earlier this week on the air. What amazing information he had for us and what amazing perspective he had for us on what's going on in Israel today. So let's get right to it and listen now as Derek Prince teaches us on the restoration of Israel and our response.
In my talks for the last 3 days, I've discussed Israel's restoration from 3 distinct but related aspects. First, the promises of restoration. Second, the process of restoration. Third, the purpose of restoration. Today, in my closing talk on this theme, I will ask and seek to answer a very important and practical question. What should be our response to the outworking of God's purpose to restore Israel? First, let me repeat something that I said earlier this week. The present regathering of Israel to their own land, recorded day by day in newspapers, on television, and by all the media, is for us as Bible believers an objective, worldwide confirmation that the Bible is a true, relevant, and up-to-date book. Therefore, in my opinion, every Bible-believing Christian should thank God every time he thinks of what God is doing for Israel. Because God's faithfulness in keeping his promises to Israel is the strongest possible assurance that he will also be faithful in keeping his promises to the church. But personally, I believe the opposite is also true. If God did not keep his numerous promises to Israel, I don't think that I could have any confidence that God would keep his promises to the church. If God did not fulfill the many, many promises he's made to Israel in Scripture, I would have to conclude that the Bible is not a reliable book. But thank God I don't have to conclude that, because God is keeping his promises to Israel, and contemporary history is an ongoing record of that fact. Now let me suggest an important principle of success in life. One key to success in any period of human history is to find out what God is doing and flow with it. I'll say that again. Find out what God is doing and flow with it. Conversely, one sure way to failure and frustration is to oppose God's purposes as he works them out. Now this applies both to individuals and to nations. In Isaiah chapter 60, we have a very clear and beautiful prediction of the restoration of Israel, which goes into a good deal of detail. I do not have time to read that passage, but in the 12th verse of that chapter, God gives a solemn warning. He says, "For the nation or kingdom that will not serve you will perish. It will be utterly ruined." I understand that this way. Any nation or kingdom in the earth today that resists God's declared purposes to regather and restore Israel will be ruined. I believe that. I think it's very important, not least for us in the United States, to lay hold of that fact. You probably know that my own background is in Britain. Britain is my mother country. And I want to tell you just briefly what I saw happen to Britain. And I was an eyewitness because I was living in Israel at the time I'm speaking about. Britain emerged from two world wars victorious. She was never defeated in war. At the end of World War II, she was a major nation, tremendous influence, tremendous assets, and an empire or a commonwealth that stretched to almost all quarters of the globe. Now, 30 years later, Britain has declined to a second-rate power, lost much of her prestige, her influence, her wealth, her position in the world. What was the turning point? I'll tell you what I believe, and I was there to see it happen. As the mandatory power in Palestine before it became Israel, when the United Nations determined that Israel was going to have a state of their own, the British authorities in Palestine deliberately resisted that by every means they could, short of open war. I am not in a position today to go into details, but I want to tell you that I'm British. I was there on the spot. I saw it happen. This is no theory. And I believe that the resisting of God's purposes to restore the state of Israel was the turning point that led to Britain's decline. Now, I say that here in the United States for a reason. One of the great blessings of this nation is that hitherto it has been consistently a friend to the state of Israel. I love this nation. The United States has been tremendously good to me as an individual. And one of my most continual and fervent prayers is this, that the United States will never make the same mistake that Britain made and turn against Israel and be arrayed with the enemies of Israel. For I believe that would lead to decline and disaster just as surely for the United States as it did for Britain.
What a powerful teaching this is by Derek, and I'm so glad for it, because so often we hear about the restoration of Israel and Israel this and Israel that, but what I want to know is, so what am I supposed to do about it? How can I act on what I know? And Derek's helping us to know this. Listen, a little later in our show, David Dolan's going to be with us, a journalist in Israel. What amazing perspective he has as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Few people realize that the Church and the Nation of Israel have two closely connected but very distinct destinies. Or that, as history's clock ticks, the paths of the Church and of Israel get closer together. In fact, it's only a matter of time before they converge. In his classic book, The Destiny of Israel and the Church, Derek Prince pulls back the curtain of prophecy and reveals the separate roles that Israel and the Church will play as we hurtle forward into the last days. Discover why, as these prophetic paths converge, we will find ourselves in a season of the most dramatic and earth-shaking developments in all of human history. What lies just ahead, and how should believers respond? Order The Destiny of Israel and the Church by Derek Prince at the special price of only $9.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. In a day in which many Christians are confused or are falling prey to false teachings about the place of Israel in God's plan of redemption, Derek Prince offers a voice of clarity and biblical authority. In a season in which too few believers know what God has planned for the church at the climax of history, this book brings us trustworthy answers. Take a moment to order your copy of The Destiny of Israel and the Church, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or securely order your copy for only $9.95 when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for being with us here on this Friday. We're on the final day of a two-week series by Derek Prince on the restoration of Israel, the restoration of the church, really the whole theme of restoration. And today we're talking about our response. And here's something Derek said that I just want to emphasize. He said, I understand it this way. Any nation or kingdom in the earth today that resists God's declared purposes to regather and restore Israel will be ruined. Tough words from Derek Prince. Let's listen as he explains what he means.
Now I want to turn to the positive. Positively, how can we flow with God's purposes for Israel? I want to offer you some simple scriptural suggestions. Turn to Psalm 122, verse 6, or listen as I read. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. There are certain things that we need to understand. According to the whole tenor of Bible prophecy, the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel are inseparably interwoven. There never will be permanent peace in Jerusalem until the restoration of Israel is complete. Secondly, in the last resort, the peace of all humanity depends on the peace of Jerusalem. Because God in his eternal counsel has ordained that his government over the earth will be established with Jerusalem as its center, and Jerusalem will be the channel through which the blessings of peace and prosperity will come to all other nations and peoples. The third thing we need to understand is this. It will take the combined, insistent, persistent prayers of God's people to call forth God's intervention on behalf of Israel and Jerusalem. God will work, but he will not work until we pray. Prayer is not just a formality. It's not just a ritual. It is something essential to the fulfillment of God's purposes. God will not do things without the cooperation of his people. This applies both to the church and to Israel. One of the major responsibilities of the church is to pray on behalf of Israel and Jerusalem. And in doing this, we are promoting our own interests, because this is the only way to the peace that the world longs for. And also, in obeying God and being concerned about Jerusalem, we promote our own prosperity. God says those who love Jerusalem and pray for her will prosper. That's a good way to prosperity. There's another passage in Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7, along the same lines. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Those watchmen whom God speaks about there are what we would call today intercessors. They are people who are concerned about Jerusalem, whose eyes are upon her, and who are committed to calling out to God on her behalf day and night until God intervenes on her behalf and does what he has promised to do. Again, I want to make some simple points. First of all, there is no higher form of service than intercession. We are to be a kingdom of priests. One of the great ministries of priests is intercession. And as we fulfill this ministry, we rule as kings. Secondly, it's going to take day and night praying. God says all day and all night. This agrees with the statement of Jesus in Luke 18:7. Will not God bring about justice for his own chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? There are some objectives that will only be achieved by day and night praying. The peace of Jerusalem is one of them. Then the word remind the Lord, relates to other predictions which tell us that there is a specific time in God's prophetic calendar to do this work of restoration, particularly Psalm 102, verse 13, where the psalmist says, Thou wilt arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to be gracious to her, for the appointed time has come. That's why we're called to remind the Lord. We're called to point to his prophetic calendar and say to him, Lord, the time has come. And to go on reminding him until we see God move in response to our prayers. Finally, let me read you out of Isaiah chapter 66 a picture of what will be our reward. Be joyful with Jerusalem and rejoice for her, all you who love her. Be exceedingly glad with her, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied with her comforting breasts, that you may suck and be delighted with her bountiful bosom. For thus says the Lord, Behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall be nursed, you shall be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. That's a message from God to all who are concerned and pray for Jerusalem.
You know, I've often heard intercession described as being the same thing as a secretary reminding her boss that it's time for him to make a certain appointment. It's time. And as Derek said, intercession is often saying to God, Lord, it's time. It's time. It's time for you to restore Israel. It's time for you to restore the church. Lord, it's time. That's really what prayer is. And as you gain an understanding of what restoration is, you become the intercessor God has called you to be. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Few people realize that the church and the nation of Israel have two closely connected but very distinct destinies. Or that, as history's clock ticks, the paths of the church and of Israel get closer together. In fact, it's only a matter of time before they converge. In his classic book, The Destiny of Israel and the Church, Derek Prince pulls back the curtain of prophecy and reveals the separate roles that Israel and the church will play as we hurtle forward into the last days. Discover why, as these prophetic paths converge, we will find ourselves in a season of the most dramatic and earth-shaking developments in all of human history. What lies just ahead, and how should believers respond? Order The Destiny of Israel and the Church by Derek Prince at the special price of only $9.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. In a day in which many Christians are confused or are falling prey to false teachings about the place of Israel in God's plan of redemption, Derek Prince offers a voice of clarity and biblical authority. In a season in which too few believers know what God has planned for the church at the climax of history, this book brings us trustworthy answers. Take a moment to order your copy of The Destiny of Israel and the Church, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or securely order your copy for only $9.95 when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, thrilled that you're joining me. And also joining me here in the studio is Dick Leggett, the president of Derek Prince Ministries. Dick, it's always great to have you here.
Thanks, Stephen. Good to be with you again.
And joining us on the phone line from Jerusalem is David Dolan. David is a just top-notch journalist, a speaker, and he's going to bring us some perspective today from on the ground in Jerusalem about what's happening with the Jews and in Israel today.
Stephen, it's great to be with you.
Yeah, David, we've been talking this week, and Derek's been talking this week, about unity and the essential nature of unity for the body of Christ. But probably one of the issues that the body of Christ is most divided on is Israel. And you have some Christians who support Israel in a very strong way, others who just see no point to it. What's it going to take to bring Christians together in unity on this issue, do you think?
Well, you know, I'm not sure there ever will be a completely unified position on it. But again, I think that any Christian that takes their Bible even half seriously and tries to find the real meanings behind the words of the prophets, etc., just can't avoid that has made an enduring covenant with the Jewish people that, the new Pope said this last year, that has not been broken, permanently broken. They were told they would be tossed out of the land if they sinned, and they were. But they were also told they'd be returned because God is faithful even if we are faithless, as the Apostle Paul pointed out. So, I think it's just, again, Christians studying the Word and really investigating this, and I think if they do so, they'll do what many have done, which is come from either a neutral position or maybe a hostile position towards Israel based on a lot of negative media coverage and that sort of thing, to understanding that whatever Israel does that's good or bad, its return, its existence, its being back here in its ancient homeland is indeed a fulfillment of biblical prophecy and therefore something that Christians just simply can't ignore.
David, for the average listener out there, they hear what you're saying. They hear these macro concepts. They're impressed by them, but it may not have any practical implication for them. In other words, what is an average American believer How is he or she supposed to respond to what that you're telling them today about the need to bless Israel, about these amazing things happening in the land? I mean, does it have any practical impact on them at all?
Oh, goodness, Stephen, there's so many ways it could be given a practical side. Contributing to ministries here, coming to visit the land, that helps the economy. It's also, of course, a blessing to the people that come, and many Christians do that. Supporting Israel politically, and again, that doesn't necessarily mean everything she does, but reminding our politicians that the existence of Israel is indeed something we want to stand with, and we don't want to see Iran wipe her out or these other threats coming against her. Those are just a few of the things I think we can do, but there's a lot more there.
We're instructed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and they shall prosper that love thee. Is that an unrealistic prayer? Is peace in Jerusalem unattainable, David?
Well, you know, Dick, I've been pointing out for some years that the word in Hebrew there is shalom, sha'alu shalom l'Yerushalayim, request the peace of Jerusalem. And in Hebrew, it doesn't just mean a lack of war or a lack of violence like it does in English. Shalom means wholeness, completeness. And the only real wholeness or completeness that I've experienced, and I think you both can say the same thing and our listeners can say the same, is the wholeness that comes from knowing the Lord. So I think that's the only solution over here. And it is a prayer that God is answering every day. More and more people, Arabs and Jews, are coming to know him. And that's the best news that's coming out of this part of the region for sure.
David, I just can't thank you enough for being with us. It's great to gain the vision that sort of infuses your life and that so many American Christians need. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Stephen.
You know, hearing David talk and specifically hearing him describe what's going on in Jerusalem just puts this whole teaching by Derek Prince into perspective for me. Because for 2 weeks now, we've been hearing Derek talk about restoration. Again, the restoration of the church, the restoration of Israel, the restoration of the individual. And it really helps me because it helps me locate myself and the life that I am living on God's prophetic calendar, so to speak. I don't like to use those buzzwords like that very much, but that really is the way it is. God ordained that I should be born in 1958. God ordained that I should live at this time in history. And it's important if I'm going to be a strategic Christian, a Christian who's making a difference, that I understand what God is doing in my generation. And without question, what God is doing is restoring the church to his divine purpose so that she's the bride, not the harem, but the bride that God has ordained for his son. And God is also restoring Israel. And if there's anything that makes that clear, it is the way that the messianic movement in the world is gaining tremendous currency. There's such wonderful books out there on this topic. I hope you'll go to your local Christian bookstore and snag some. Of course, there are two or three by Derek Prince and then other authors as well, talking about how the whole messianic movement is indicative of what God is doing in our generation. But what we desire for you here at Derek Prince Ministries is that you will live a vital, culture impacting, transforming, and I would use the word prophetic life, that you would live a life that's not just about the daily and the mundane and fulfilling our appetites, but that it's a life that is lived in light of what God is doing, his prophetic word, his restorative purposes in our generation, and that you would pray for them, that you would live in them, that you would help execute them. As Derek taught us to pray, Lord, it really is time. Restore in our generation. Do what you've called, do the things that you've ordained to do in this time, and let us play a role. Well, that's what we hope for you, and that's what we pray for you. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For Dick Leggett, the president of Derek Prince Ministries, and me, Stephen Mansfield, and for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, join us again next week as the legacy continues.
Thank you for joining us for Derek Prince Legacy Radio. To order your copy of Derek's book, The Destiny of Israel and the Church, give us a call. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This insightful book is only $9.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can purchase your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.